Talk to Tricia on City Talk 105.9.
For most of us, swinging, or wife swapping as it used to be called, conjures up images of slightly naff 70s parties with car keys and caution thrown to the wind in the pursuit of no-string sex. But if we believe some of what we read, swinging is currently enjoying a revival. For its aficionados, it's a lifestyle choice that they claim is harmless and can even spice up an existing relationship. Well, 45-year-old Mark Brendan is a recent convert who claims that sex parties are much more common than you might expect. Now, far from being grubby, furtive affairs, apparently Mark says they can also be emotionally as well as physically satisfying. But surely there's no such thing as no strings sex. Or is there? Mark, welcome to City Talk.
Thank you indeed.
I was going to say Sin Talk there.
Sin Talk, that's...
Well,
that would be, yes.
Oh dearie me. Now, okay, let's start at the beginning. How did you become involved in the swinging scene?
Well, I actually became involved because I had recently become sober, and under the 12-step program, you are told very firmly that you can't have a relationship for at least 12 months after you've actually given up what, well, in my case, it was the booze.
Yes.
And so the options, it seemed to me, were to hang around wine bars and pick people up, and that strikes me as a horrible, although supposedly respectable, transaction, which always involves a certain amount of confusion. You use the language of romance, but really one or the other of you is probably after sex, and usually it results in one wanting more than the other, and so people get hurt, and I didn't want to hurt people, and I didn't want to be hurt myself. And then I suppose there's prostitution, which never appealed to me in the slightest. So, you know, in many ways I was in the same position as lots of other people around today who don't want a relationship necessarily, but equally don't want to live a life of celibacy. And a girlfriend, an old girlfriend of mine who was already on the scene, said, well, come along to a party. So I did. And
but weren't you a bit at first? I mean, did you say, oh, right, oh, I mean, or did you still say, eek?
Well, adventure is always attractive, but and it's always curious, and she assured me that, you know, I wasn't going to get pounced on or forced to do anything I didn't want to do. But yes, of course, there was a bit of trepidation, and of course, all these stereotypes of car keys and so on and so forth remained. And I can tell you that I've done a lot of research into this, and I have never been able to find a single instance of the car keys in Bill. this is a myth that grew up in the 50s, I think, and has never died. But yes, I was astonished because there was no sleaze. It was.
But hang on, that first time, Mark, first time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, what was it? Was it a club or a house party?
It was a club with a movable location. So, you know, it went from house to house sort of thing.
Okay, so you walk in the first time. Did you not feel awkward? Especially if you're dry, you're no longer drinking, because I'm guessing quite a few people, you know, would have had to have a few stiff drinks. And
well,
I use the word stiff advisedly.
Drink is actually, I mean, although people, yes, they will have a couple of glasses of wine for Dutch courage, it's actually very sparsely used by swingers because they like to hold on to their memories. And making memories is a large part of what this is about.
But you walk in on the first time. What was that like?
Well, I walked in on the first time and it was an ordinary drinks party. And the only thing that was slightly strange about it, I suppose, was that the girls were strutting their stuff. They'd raided the dressing up box, and that's part of the fun of it for many, many women, is that they actually do get to dress up in their fantasy clothes and to wear slightly ridiculous but very sexy outfits and so on and so forth. But otherwise, it was a straightforward drinks party, and we introduced ourselves to people and chatted to people, and, you know, it's all the normal conversations about holidays and so on. A little less unguarded than usual. You don't have to worry. You know, you can actually say, well, I don't know, you can pass a compliment without being thought
slapped
to.
Slapped.
Yeah, trying it on. But otherwise, perfectly normal drinks party.
And then what, somebody blows a whistle and says off?
No. It remains an ordinary drinks party. It's sort of a cross between the teenage party that I'm sure we all remember, where, you know, if you're lucky, you retire to a darkened room and, I don't know, have a bit of a grope. And the traditional ball, where you have your wallflowers who never actually dance, and you can ask people to dance, and sometimes the dancing turns into a hokey-cokey, and sometimes it's, you know, it's much more intimate and slow.
But you went with a female friend, or
yes.
Because I'm thinking, because we see swinging as couples going, don't we?
Yes, she was a girlfriend. I mean, you know, we were lovers, but an occasional girlfriend, shall we say?
Yeah.
She used to turn up from time to time, and you know, we were very close friends.
Okay.
And we, you know, it's just simply a question then of chatting, flirting to people, and if you both like a couple and either the suggestion is made or it happens spontaneously,
yeah,
then you might retire to the playrooms. I mean, really, the only difference between this and any other party is that the people who go to these places are explicit about what they want. They're not pretending that they're there in order to, I don't know, get their friends' opinions on the latest football match or something. They are there, you know, in order to flirt and possibly to play, as it's called.
All right, you're going to think I'm absolutely ghastly now, but I'm being really honest with you. when I've done programmes on swinging on
yeah,
my television show,
yeah,
I've got to say most of the swingers are not classically attractive people. In fact, I'd go to the other extreme and say many of them seem very unattractive, and the comments made are, well, yes, you'd have to get into that scene, otherwise you'd never get
yeah,
anything outside your relationship.
Yes, I mean, this is one of the things that I think curses the whole lifestyle. This isn't actually representative. Now,
is it not?
I mean, if you say I'm going to make a television programme about swingers...
We try and get pretty swingers, I assure you.
Yes, but how many pretty swingers who are actually leading normal lives and, you know, have children and are working and so on and so forth are going to volunteer to come on your show, Tricia? I mean, they just aren't going to. It's the people who want to create a bit of a stir and who want to be a little bit sensationalist or want a bit of attention who are going to do that. No, of course, I mean, there's nothing body fascist about the whole lifestyle. But there are young, attractive swingers. There are older, attractive people swing from all ages. I mean, most of them, I suppose, is the usual thing is that when the children have reached a certain age where they can look after themselves,
yeah,
people are looking at that rather arid desert. I mean, Kurt Vonnegut somewhere says that what most women are complaining about today is too short a story and too long an epilogue. Which is a good point, because, you know, when Jane Austen was laying down all the rules about romantic novels and expectations, life expectancy in England was 36. Today
yeah,
it's 76. They've added 40 years to For As Long As You Both Shall Live. And so usually around the late 30s or early 40s is
right,
the point at which people will actually think about joining this lifestyle, because it's a way of, I suppose, still having the adventures, but doing it together.
And here's the thing. Is there such a thing as no strings sex? Because I'm thinking, all right, and I'm sure a lot of people listening will be thinking this. My husband and I have been together, what, 13, 14 years?
Yeah.
I could not be abandoning myself to some guy, knowing my husband's in the next room doing it. So I, with another guy, I just can't deal with that. There's no way.
Not probably could I, Tricia. I mean, the point is though that...
you couldn't?
Not in the next room. What I like, I mean, obviously what most swingers like to do actually is to stay with their partners throughout the evening. And they may well play with other couples and with other singles if there are any around, but they will do so, you know, side by side and able to reach out and take one another's hands or kiss one another or whatever it might be.
Oh, my God, that's even worse. What, actually see it in front of your face?
Absolutely.
No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't... You know, sex is about abandonment. It's about intimacy.
Yeah.
And you would surely just be looking at your partner thinking, you bloody well enjoying it more than me, or is she better than me, or is it, you know, you don't do that with me, or, ooh.
Oh, well, you don't do that with me would be terrible. I hope that that wouldn't happen. But, no, I mean, to enjoy the pleasure that your partner is feeling, to feel pride in it, it's very strange, Trish. All I can tell you, I'm not saying that this is for everyone, mm-hmm. but from my point of view, it's been very much a learning curve, and one of the things that I learned, I'm as jealous as the next man. Yeah. If a girl that I have seen playing, as it's called, with me and with other people at parties and so on, yeah. if she were to make secret assignations at hotels or whatever, yeah. I would be as jealous as the next man and as worried. But what I did discover was that jealousy is all about speculation. It's all about the, you know, did she do this with him or did she not? Or and then she has to start worrying about, oh, did I say that to him or did I say it to him? Or is he the one that likes the olives or is he the one that hates them? You know, and that's the sort of thing that drives a wedge into a relationship. When, on the other hand, you know that you're both, basically, the wordplay is good. You're both actually engaged in a fantasy, in making memories, in having fun. And
making memories, you mean you sort of sit there of a you know, bleak Sunday night and say, oh, do you remember that time we met that couple?
Oh, damn, it is a bit of a stimulus when you get home that night and you're thinking, you know, here's my megastar and I saw him or her having enormous pleasure. It is a bit of a stimulus to the normal sex life of a couple, yes. And I mean, I don't know if I can explain this to those who've never experienced it, but all I can tell you is that I have never for a moment thought this is reality. This is play. This is fantasy.
And but are there rules? Are there sort of rules and safety measures? I mean, I'm guessing safe sex is compulsory or...
Safe sex is absolutely obligatory. Yeah. Consensual sex is absolutely obligatory. I mean, if anyone attempted to push him, most likely himself, but it could be herself, on anyone else, and they'd be shown the door instantly. It's very much run, the whole lifestyle is run on what are commonly thought of as feminine principles and according to the standards of women. So it's not about instant sexual gratification. It is about prolonged sensuality. In fact, in the terms that you would normally think of sexual gratification, the terms in which we would approach something like prostitution, there's very little of that sort of gratification on offer. It is very prolonged. It is very lengthy. It is all to do with the dressing up and the undressing. And it's a slow process and everything. Okay. Yes, the rules. And also, of course, couples have to have their own rules. And this is one of the all important things. You know, when you get vanillas, so-called, that means non-swingers, then if vanillas, and this frequently happens, they have a few drinks too many, and they're a bit frustrated, and they're with the neighbours, and it goes too far. And the result is always disastrous. I've never heard of an occasion when the results of that sort of thing have ever been anything else. But...
can I ask you, is swinging divided? Is there sort of like straight swinging and gay swinging, or is it just anything goes, or what? Because I'll bet you, girls play with girls, but whenever I've asked swingers about, oh, so do the boys play with boys? I go, oh, Kellora, my God, what are you suggesting, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would not say Kellora. It is true. Now, whether this is because, I'm sure it's because of cultural things, but that you know, I consider myself, and I can't work out why, I consider myself exclusively straight. Women